Good. Okay, good morning. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Move into a very busy morning. So let's spend some time. Let's first of all spend some time in prayer. So let's go into prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for what brings us together today, the celebration of the Lord's table, the communion that we have between Jesus Christ and each other, for the freedom we enjoy in this country. A very busy, very wonderful morning. So, Father, we pray that all that we do is glorifying to Jesus Christ. In His precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, we're going to sing, and we're not overwhelmed with people, but we're going to sing, and if you were in at home, you could sing in your own tub, in the shower, but we won't do that. So let's begin at 508 America the Beautiful. 508 America the Beautiful. Sing in a moment. We'll sing again. Okay, we have a few things we need to take care of this morning, though. And what to begin this morning? Now, next Sunday is Chris Day's going to talk about the how great the camp turned out, and some stories about response to the Word of God. But this morning, Ben Daig, he's going to get in trouble because of two reasons. First of all, today is his birthday. So, happy birthday. That's good. All right. That's one way your parents are always going to have to remember your birthday. Good grief. So, but tomorrow he leaves for, what do you call it?
Field faith.
And he's going to, I want him to come up here and talk about the camp this last week. He won't be here. He just decided his dad was going to speak, so he wasn't going to be here. No, he's going to be at A&M, so doing some work. So, because Chris will not be here, so Ben, come up and tell us a few things about camp from your perspective.
I'm not going to use the mic because I'm not feeling too hot, and I don't want to get you sick. All right. Well, you're hooked up too. It was just an awesome week at camp this week. There's a lot to say about it, and we're going to cover a lot of it next week. And I'm excited for y'all to get to hear that. But it was super cool for me this year because I got to experience a new job. I've been a counselor ever since I became staff, and that was always fun, and you got to be with the campers and like all the time and everything like that. This year I got to run activities as part of our activities team. We had like 9 people essentially that ended up being our activities team. And we were working this week and for the months leading up to camp. It was more work than I've ever put into camp in my life. And it was awesome. So as much work as it was just as much rewarding, and we got to hang out with friends, we got to engage with campers, we got to see them have fun, we got to be small group teachers and teach them the gospel and show them the Word of God, and it was wonderful and hard and fun and rewarding. And one of my favorite parts for sure was being a small group teacher, because I got to teach the youngest boys, so they're like 9 years old, and the way that they were just excited about everything was super cool. I was like, hey guys, can you share the gospel with me? And they did it. And they were like, Jesus died for us, and he died on the cross, and he took our sins, and if we believe in him, like, we'll be saved forever. And I was like, okay guys, that's perfect. Where can you find that in the Bible? And they were like, I think it's in John, you know? And so I was like, okay, everybody turn to John 3:16. And I made them repeat that to me like 17 times throughout the week. I was like, where's the gospel? And they'd be like, John 3:16. And then they were having questions about, like, well, if the Jews only believe in the Old Testament, can they be saved? And then, I have a Catholic mom and a non-Catholic dad and, like, all this different stuff. And like, which one should I believe? And I was like, guys, open the Bible, and I want you to see something. And I was like, go to John 14:6 real quick. And so I said, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I was like, guys, it doesn't matter what identity in a denomination we have or whatever. Like, we're promised life in Christ through the Word of God. And that it doesn't matter what we identify ourselves with here in the world. It's about what Jesus told us and what we believe in. And so all week I was like, guys, where do we find the gospel in the Bible? And they'd be like, John 3:16 and John 14:6. I was like, amen! And so just being able to share that with them was so much fun, and they had so many questions, and they were excited about it. And I told them, guys, like, every time you hear the phrase "in Christ," I want you to repeat after me. So I'd be reading through the Bible, and I'd be like, "In Christ we have life," and they'd be like, "In Christ." And then I got to start preaching a little bit. I'd be like, "We have life in Christ. We have freedom in Christ. We have joy in Christ. We have all these things in Christ." And they'd be like, "In Christ." And so it was awesome, and just to see them realize that it's not about us. It's about all of it being in Christ, and all of our promises are fulfilled in Him. And it's not that we can earn it on our own, but that we're promised those things through Christ. And so, it was just an awesome week. We're tired. We're all sick. Iris, you're next. But, you know, it was awesome, and God provided this week and made it another great year of care. So, Tigers, go ahead.
All right. Well, like Ben said, it was a great week at camp. We were tired. There's a video out there of Ben and I taking like 36 hours after we got to camp, not even 2 whole days. We're just sitting in chairs and we're about to like fall over. We're so tired, but we finished out the week and it was really fun. For me, the thing that became really evident and just real was God's timing and everything. 2 years ago, if you told me to speak in front of a group at camp, I would have said no. If you told me I was going to be teaching at camp, I would have laughed. But about a year and a half ago, right at the beginning of COVID, right, I was convinced I should start helping teach little lessons on the YouTube channel we have. So that started there. And then last fall, I rushed to Christian Fraternity, which further pushed me out of my shell and comfort zone and helped me grow. And then this year I was able to lead a small group with the help of a counselor and Mr. Eric Ward. But, you know, I got to lead that. And Ben and I also led the Jaker activities this year, where we were speaking with the high schoolers. And each night we shared a lesson with them. And so a lesson that we wrote and we shared with them. And so it was really cool just to see how much I have grown in my faith over the last 2 years and how just that timing, yeah, God's timing and all that. It's been super cool to see.
I tell you what I love. Talk about the things that happen at camp for the kids, but these two stories, that to me is another greatness about the camp and what God is doing there. So thank you very much. Wish you the very best the next 2 weeks. Hope you get to feeling better tonight.
I hope so.
Okay. Now, today is July the 4th, and it's an important day, not only for our nation's freedom, but Phil and Pat. They were married on the 4th of July and still stayed married, and they're still having freedom with the other. So, congratulations. Just remembered also Tyson and Heather. I married them on the 4th of July also. Birthdays, I know of two. If you know of others, let me know. But Ben Daig and Steve, it's his birthday. So, birthday to them. Any other birthdays that I'm aware of, or marriages or anything? Oh, good. All right. Let's talk about prayer, and do we have any prayer requests from everyone? Yes.
So I would be in prayer for Ben, one, his health and field training.
Yes.
He's not going to A&M. He's going out to Mississippi.
Mississippi?
And it's with the Air Force. It's not with the college. And it's
heavy duty
field training. It's military field training.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's going to be heavy duty for this.
What will he be doing?
Three weeks.
What will he be doing?
About 7 days, they're going to do some manual training. There's a lot of stuff they have to memorize to even show up there, all the things with the Air Force. So they're going to get grilled like they were fish again for you guys. For so they stayed at the A&M. The core guys and girls tend to do better than a lot of the other ROTC, because it's ROTC from all over the country coming to this training.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it is, they say, like being a fish again, except you don't have the excuse of being dumb. You have to know stuff. He has to memorize. He's still working on that right now. And then a lot of PT. And then the last 9 days of the training, they're getting graded on missions and leadership and how they organize. And they're given missions to accomplish. And then will be graded. And all these grades go toward what they will choose for their service, for their selection, what they're going to do in
yes.
the forces.
Yes.
So Ben wants to be a pilot, so all these things are very important for getting graded on and where you get to pick, you know, your choice of what you're going to do.
Very good. My brother wanted to be a pilot, and got into that point of it, and he had some kind of physical problems that he was not qualified for the field being a pilot. and it really hurt him. Okay, anything else? Any other? Yes.
A friend of my sister's, Maria, has COVID, and she and her husband has COVID, and she had to go to the hospital this morning to be put on our prayer list.
So that's serious.
Yeah. Maria Garcia, I believe. Is
okay. Right. We'll be in prayer for Maria Garcia. All right. And yes?
It's not a prayer request. It's just a reminder. We still could use cleanup for this month. I'll do it today because I know everybody's got plans, but we're still needing for July.
Okay. Come on, let's got to clean. People, we don't have that many things to do in our assembly. And so just briefly cleaning, and even that isn't a major deal here. So if you don't decide to do it, and I'm going to have to do it.
And,
What is that? Yes.
Just prayer for the campers. I know we're going to talk about camp next week, but we have great stories to share, but there are also a handful of campers that are really, really struggling. We had a couple go home early, and just unspoken on the details, but if you guys would just be in prayer. I mean, we leave camp, and, you know, the world presses back in, and they get their phones back, and stuff going on in homes, and all kinds of crazy stuff. So if you guys would just please be in prayer that what they've learned this week and what they know and about God's promises and
Christ, okay.
Ben was saying that they would just keep their eyes fixed on Christ and know that's where our hope comes from.
Very good. Was any one of them really hurt physically?
Elijah Saldivar, who comes to Anna, for y'all that know Anna, her little brother, and he comes to Bible study almost every week at our house. But he captured the flag the very first night. He's going to be a senior, a junior counselor. He's been so excited to see Fassel. And they think he dislocated his knee. He had surgery on that knee. Surgery again next week on his knee. So he did have to go home that first full day. So lots of prayer. He missed everybody. He did not want to go. He was in a lot of pain. But you guys just pray for his surgery, just physical recovery.
If you're a person who sends little messages, postcard, please send him one.
He would love that so much.
Just send him a note. That'd be very good. Thank you.
Was in touch with them. His counselor was in touch with them. We're going to take a little back to him. He would love if y'all...
Okay.
I have his address. He would love that so much.
All right. You have his address? Mm-hmm. All right. So they have their address if you so desire to send something. Okay, anything else as far as the testing or blessings? Okay. Camp's over. Let's get ready for next year. So we're going to take an offering. It'll take care of so many things we have in regard to our assembly, the internet, young people, and things that we have. So let's begin with having a prayer for our offering. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly. How grateful we are for the opportunity that we have to work together for the glory of Christ with our young people, with our members here. Pray, Father, that you will take the thing, the messages, and even the passages that Ben Day over and over said to these young children, and they got it in their head, that it will set into them the importance. Father, we do thank you for this opportunity. Pray now that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give to the honor and glory of Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. missing another one right now. Okay. Last Sunday, we had Faso here. And next Sunday, Chris Daig is going to be teaching. And so with the camp, And so in the middle is this Sunday. And I just couldn't just do the one in Ephesians with where we were and where we'll be after another break. So this morning it's going to be over the communion with God. Since we are in communion and in 4th of July, let's begin first of all with a word of prayer that the Holy Spirit will open our eyes to understanding the communion offer that we have with God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the communion that we have with your Son. The communion that we have with Him because of His work for us on the cross. Pray, Father, that this morning we're glorifying to Christ. In His precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, the first mention of bread and wine together is in the Bible in Genesis chapter 14. But by way of introduction, the Eucharist is the joining of bread and the wine in our communion with the Lord. Communion based on relationship. Only those who are to have a communion with God by faith in Christ as Savior are positioned to take communion at the communion table. We are to have a bond of communion with the Lord and a communion with common brotherhood with each other as we enter for the communion service. Now, we come to the first mention of bread and wine in the Bible. It is befitting. In fact, let's just open the Bibles, Genesis chapter 14. Trying to get ourselves ready. Genesis 14, in which we will study the bringing together of wine and bread for the first time in the Bible. Genesis 14. Now, it is befitting of the first mention of bread and wine, for this is in a battle scene, a battle time. Just Abraham has won a very strong battle. Abraham has just won an important battle for himself and his friends. Freedom. Freedom for Abraham. Freedom for those who went with him. He is now on his way to a meeting with the kings that he has defeated in battle. He didn't kill them, but he defeated their warriors. And Abraham is on his way to join with them before or after the battle. Now, there suddenly appeared another king when Abraham was on his way. This king was Melchizedek. Melchizedek. He is a king, and he is on his way to Abraham, and he brings bread and wine for the communion with them and with the Lord. So it's a very interesting time in history right now. So let's look at Genesis 14, verse 17. Then, after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet with the king of the valley of Shaha, which is the king's valley. Now, Abraham has just won a decisive campaign. Five battles, five kings together. Now, Kedorlaomer was the king of Elam. Now, where is Elam? Very quickly, it's if you get in your mind where Babylon is, it's east of Babylon and south of Assyria. Now, he was allied with three other kings, battled against these five cities. The king of Sodom and of Gomorrah and other kings had served this king, but they rebelled against him, and he defeated them in battle. Then he plundered Sodom and Gomorrah and took away Abraham's nephew, Lot. On his way back, he encountered Abram, and Abraham defeated his army and his the army that were there. Okay. For this great victory, Abraham is about to be tested. That's what I want you to understand that. He's about to be tested. Now, you might think that the battle that he just defeated was the test. But that's not the test for Abraham. Abraham has just defeated the armies that sacked Sodom, and now the king Sodom is about to come to Abraham to reward Abraham for his victory and to praise him. This is going to be his test. This is a test to Abraham. So God, in his grace, sends Melchizedek to Abraham before this battle, this great testing. Now, often the time, victory can be a great test after a victory. Not the victory, not the battle itself. A victory, a testing, can often be in our lives after we have been victorious. We can lose. And that's where Abraham is. Now, on his way to meet kings, he's defeated. Abraham was met with another great king, Melchizedek. Now, first thing in verse 18, Melchizedek, first thing, let's look at his name. Melka, that's the word, Hebrew word for king. Zadok, that's the word for righteousness. King of righteousness. But note, he is also called King of Salem. So he has a very complicated place of glory. Now, with that in mind, I want you to turn in your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. I really enjoyed getting ready for today because we've been in Ephesians, the New Testament, and I like being in the Old Testament. So here we're in the Old Testament, but now we've gone back to the New Testament to look at Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham as he was returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Melchizedek had blessed him. To whom also Abraham apportioned a tenth part of all of the spoils was, first of all, by the translation of his name, King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salem. Now, King of Salem means King of Peace. So his name means King of Righteousness, Melchizedek, and he was the King of Salem. That's the King of Peace. Now let's go back to Genesis chapter 14. And let's look at verse 18 now. And Melchizedek, so you got his name down, King of Righteousness, King of Salem. Now, Salem means peace. This is an early reference to Jerusalem. See the word Salem and Jerusalem. So there's the peace. And he was, continuing now verse 18, he was the priest of God, brought out bread and wine. This is the first time the Bible mentions bread and wine together, which is interesting in the story of Melchizedek, brought it in to refresh, just to refresh and strengthen Abram, and for the two of them to come together as friends with each other and blessing God. And Abraham of Melchizedek came together, strengthen each other, and glorify God. As the two of them were to establish a communion between the two men along with God. So this is what's happening in the event. Now, a communion that we are going to fellowship with in a few moments, right here in our own assembly, is an offering of a blessing and praise to our Lord. It began with Melchizedek and Abraham about 2000 B.C. And bread and wine were now in the time of the beginning of the church. So that was some 2,000 years ago that this began. Now, bread and wine. We could spend a long time. In fact, each communion service, I'm going to expand on our understanding of these things. But bread and wine. Refresh, just take the bread and wine, refresh the body as bread and wine refresh on the table. That's what happens. But we have to refresh our souls and our spirits in our fellowship and relationship with the Lord in the spiritual warfare that we're in. Now, in Genesis 14, we learn that bread and wine are symbols of fellowship with each other and with the Lord at this table. Now let's look at Genesis 14, verse 18. Melchizedek, king of Salem. Again, Salem means peace. This is the early reference to Jerusalem. So Melchizedek brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High. Okay. Verse 18 again. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. All right. First, understand that wine is exactly that. It is wine. I am so sorry for those who do not understand correctly the Bible. Many try to say that wine in the Bible is not alcoholic, especially if Jesus Christ is involved. But people, if you study the Bible, go all the way through it, you learn when Jesus Christ turned water into wine, this was not only alcohol wine, but it was the best wine. I would put it next to Bordeaux, probably, would be with that good. better than that. But that's what wine is at this point, the time. How do we know that? Because when Christ turned the water into wine, there was somebody else that was there. There was a wine taster. And it had a big wine a wedding like this, you'd have a wine taster tasting the wine. When Jesus Christ turned the water to wine, the wine taster came and tasted it. And he said it is the best that he's ever had. In the Old Testament, when speaking of wine, says that it makes men's hearts glad. That's what the Bible says. The heart, the wine makes the hearts glad. And in Zechariah, says that we bring and we drink and be boisterous with wine. Throughout the Old Testament, God blessed the people of Israel by offering rich growth of wine. If God was not honoring them, they had a very poor month of the rope, the ending of their the waning or gaining of wine. Now, this is a very important part of life. You're in the wine, the wine making, the wine growing, the vineyards. You're out there listening, watching, taking it, taking care of the wild flea, the animals that are bothering it, all those kind of things. Is this wine really good? And you bring it in and make good wine. Okay, verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was priest of Most High. Now, very important. This is before the Levitical priesthood. Note it says he was a priest of Most High. This is before Levitical priesthood, which will come about approximately 1440 B.C. And we're in about 2060 B.C. So about 500 years before Levitical priesthood, God saluted or instituted priesthood. So God used priests beginning at the very beginning of the history. This occurred before Abraham entered the great test. Now, I know some of you I know the battle of Abraham, and the first test was the battle he just fought and won, which we looked at in verse 17, as he was the first victory in the battle. But he is about to enter a test, the Bible talks about, and that is going to be bigger and more important test than the battle that he just won. This is a spiritual warfare going on between God and Satan, and under the plan of bread and wine is going to be this salute, this war, spiritual warfare going on. And before this test, God, in His grace, sent Abram a priest. God does not send Abram a prophet. God does not send him a lawmaker. God sends Abram a priest. Now, Strombeck, he's a Bible writer, points out why a priest. Why did God send him a priest? Quote, "A priest is one who approaches God on the basis of sacrifice that has been made to atone for sin, and pleads with God on behalf of man. Because of the sacrifice, demands of God, God's righteousness, and righteousness is made set now in place. Therefore, God is free to act in grace in response to the pleading of the priest. So that's what Melchizedek is doing. He's the priest who will go before God, talking about Abram, who has just won the battle. Now, all blessings from God are based on sacrifice offered to God. All blessings from God are based on sacrifice offerings to God. All communion with God is based on this sacrifice. All communion, the one we'll be having in a few moments, with God is based on this sacrifice. Melchizedek coming to Abraham is God's grace and God's love. Bread and wine, reminding of the coming death and resurrection of the Messiah. Just as we this morning will partake of this bread and this cup to remind us of his sacrifice and with our own communion along with each other. This morning we celebrate freedom, freedom of our nation. But for us, our freedom is with Christ. If you missed this morning's teaching by Fail, I encourage you to do so. It was class. It was super class. So you want to deal with it. But let's just continue at this point that where we have been set free by Jesus Christ, we've been set free, that we are in communion with God, with Christ, being in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. The communion is a fellowship with the Lord and with each other. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, verse 1. Galatians 5, 1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. How beautiful. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm. Do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery, sin, and the law. This is not talking about our freedom in the nation. This is talking about freedom through Jesus Christ. Now let's go back to Genesis 14. I'm sorry, got to get it back and forth. Genesis 14. Verse 18, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was priest of God Most High. God Most High. Let's look at God. It's the simple word El, E-L. One of the most ancient terms for God in history. God, our deity. It is used occasionally of other gods, but most of the time in the Old Testament, it refers to the true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was priest of the God Most High. He was the God Most High. Look at me in Numbers, book of Numbers, been very close, chapter 24. Here's a beautiful passage you mark in your Bibles, think about and deal with some other time. Verse 16. The declaration of him who hears the words of God, hears the words of God, and knows the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty. This one little work puts God, Most High, Almighty. Very powerful verse. All right, let's go back to Genesis 14. Genesis 14, 16. And he, Melchizedek, blessed him, Abram. And he, Melchizedek, blessed him, that's Abram, and said, Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. First, this is special, centering around bread and wine. This declaration. This entire scene is entirely involved in the spiritual warfare with bread and wine. God Most High, not Satan, whose servant led these kings against Abraham. Just as in the first of dispensation, so now Satan is defeated by the Most High God, and he is going to be so defeated at the end. Now, verse 20. And blessed be God Most High, look at the words now, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. God is victorious through the entire flow of human history. The beginning of Abram is his being victorious by God. You have to be aware of the spiritual warfare since the movement out of the fall of Adam and Eve. Satan has been the ruler of the world. He has been the ruler of the world since Adam and Eve kicked out of the garden. Now, at the end of the war by Jesus Christ, Armageddon, Jesus Christ becomes the ruler of the world. He will become ruler of the world. Here in history of Christianity, there is a spiritual warfare. We're involved in it directly. Very important this morning by Phil's teaching regard to the warfare. This is what we're involved as believers. We have to become aware of the spiritual warfare. Don't get centered on America as the fall or making of this great nation, but keep your eyes fixed on the spiritual warfare. Whether the war is in America or other countries of battle set in Europe, Africa, Middle East, against Israel itself, we stand in the spiritual angelic conflict. And in the middle of our conflict, we have the partaking of the communion. It really started at the time of Abraham, and we have it going on in the church today. Abraham passed the test. He remained totally dependent upon God, learning to live by faith. Now I want to go with you a couple of passages. Get ready for this tonight, in a few moments for our communion. Look at 1 Samuel 17. Now those of you that come on Wednesday night, you know about this one. 1 Samuel 17 with David and Goliath. All those gathered here were in 1 Samuel 17:47. All those gathered here well known that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give all of you into His hands. The battle is the Lord's. He will give you the victory. Now look at Ephesians chapter 6. We'll be there one day. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians 6, verse 12. For our struggle, we're in a battle, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. This is where we're in battle, people. Now with that in mind, look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 10. Verse 4. 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare, and we're in a war, what are these weapons? The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Now let's go to the Old Testament. Zechariah. Where's Zechariah? Where's Zechariah? Come on. Pick up the Bible and see where Zechariah is in the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4. People, let me just, while we're looking, if you don't really know, and that's my fault, you should know the Bible all the way through, but I spend too much time on one. But that's what they have the table of content for. It's what it's there for. Get into it. Use it. Find out where it is real quick. Yeah. Boy, I learned to love that thing when I took Hebrew in seminary. Man, I was using the Hebrew commentary all the time where the books were. Zechariah 4:6. Then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of armies. Now look at 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. First part of the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles 20. 2 Chronicles 20. Verse 15. 2 Chronicles 20, 15. And he said, listen, all you of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says to you. Okay, it's to us. Do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. You don't run away from them. Go down. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Zeth, and you will find them at the end of the valley in the front of the wilderness of Jeruel. Now look at verse 17. You need not fight in the battle, that take your position, stand and watch the salvation of the Lord, of the deliverance, the victory. You need not fight in this battle. Take your position. Stand and watch the victory of the Lord. In your behalf, Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear, do not be dismayed tomorrow go out to face them, for the Lord is with you. Let's close on this study with Exodus 15. Exodus 15, simple little verse, but powerful. Exodus 15, 3. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is His name. There's our victory. So there is the beginning of bread and wine in the Bible by Abraham, Melchizedek, setting the order, and where we are today in partaking of it. So we'll get ready now to partake of the communion table. And see, we have the various parts. So let's pass the cup of the bread. Oh, this is good. You don't have that other thing. Thank you. As we partake of the communion, it's been our custom to pray. Now, therefore, let us pray in regard to communion. Our children, what do you think about this? Our children, and in fact, most people, learn to pray by listening to others. So let's be sure that we are accurate in regards to our prayers in regard to communion. Blessing God is important, but let's be sure in regards to blessing, for example, bless the bread and cup. The bread and the cup are already blessed. They're already blessed from God. The word of Jesus Christ are already a blessing. Our salvation is already a blessing. So therefore, when we pray, let us not ask God to bless the bread and the cup, but let's give thanks to Him for the privilege to use to come to the bread and the cup. The bread and the cup are already a blessing from God. Jesus and God the Father are blessed in giving to us the cup of the bread and the cup. Let us give thanks and praise to God for blessing that He has given. At the beginning of the bringing into bread and wine together by Melchizedek was the beginning of sharing of bread as the sharing of Jesus Christ and wine as the bread of the life of Jesus Christ. Melchizedek and Abraham came with bread and wine to recognize the thankfulness of the goodness of God in the victory before them. Wine represents, we're going to extend this in our studies, wine represents joy and celebration. It can be used that wrongly, but in concept, wine represents joy and celebration, expressing the abundant blessing given to us by God. To Melchizedek and Abraham, enjoy bread and wine as joy and celebration for the blessing from the Lord. This is declared in Ecclesiastes 9:7, go and eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for it is now that God favors what you do. That is what we see with Melchizedek and Abraham, and that's what we should have in our relationship with the Lord. Bread represents the supreme gift from God in eternal life. Bread is a sign of grace of God toward His children. This is what we are going to enjoy. So as we take now the bread, let's think about it. The bread represents the supreme gift from God. It is eternal life given to God. So in our customary reading of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he had been betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this blessing. Christ's work on the cross has already been done. It is the blessed. But we give thanks for it in our lives. We thank you, Father, for the bread. We thank you for the cup. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, in the same way, he, Jesus Christ, took the cup also after supper, the Passover is over, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Well, we got to do that. Sorry. Thank you. Let's stand. In the same way, Jesus Christ took the cup, also after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Heavenly Father, how grateful we are this morning for the freedom we enjoy in this country. We know there are countries around the world that do not have this freedom. We know that it is precious. We know, Heavenly Father, that many have died for this freedom. We know, Heavenly Father, that this freedom is under siege. We thank you for the freedom we enjoy. But Heavenly Father, we thank you for the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. Regardless of what happens in nations around the world, we're in the battle with the Lord. We pray, Heavenly Father, continue to teach us, encourage us, as we fellowship with each other to glorify Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.